everything else.
Thence came that most debased of prayers, in which Mycenas does not refuse to suffer weakness, deformity, and as a climax, the pain of crucifixion, provided only that he may prolong the breath of life amid these sufferings. Fashion me with a palsied hand, weak a foot, and a cripple. Build upon me a crook-backed hump. Shake my teeth till they rattle. All is well if my life remains. Save, oh save it, I pray you, though I sit on the piercing cross. There he is, praying for that which, if it had befallen him, would be the most pitiable thing in the world, and seeking a postponement of suffering as if he were asking for his life. I should deem him most despicable had he wished to live up to the very time of crucifixion. Nay, he cries, you may weaken my body if you will only leave the breath of life in my battered and ineffective carcass. Maim me if you will, but allow me, misshapen and deformed as I may be, just a little more time in the world. You may nail me up and set my seat upon the piercing cross. Is it worthwhile to weigh down upon one's own wound and hang impaled upon a gibbet, that one may but postpone something which is the balm of troubles, the end of punishment? Is it worth all this to possess the breath of life only to give it up? What would you ask for my Mycenas but the indulgence of heaven? What does he mean by such womanish and indecent verse? What does he mean by making terms with panic fear? What does he mean by begging so vilely for life? He cannot ever have heard Virgil read the words, "Tell me, is death so wretched as that?" He asks for the climax of suffering and, what is still harder to bear, prolongation and extension of suffering. And what does he gain thereby? Merely the boon of a longer existence. But what sort of life is a lingering death? Can anyone be found who would prefer wasting away in pain, dying limb by limb, or letting out his life drop by drop, rather than expiring once for all? Can any man be found willing to be fastened to the accursed tree, long sickly, already deformed, swelling with ugly tumors on chest and shoulders, and draw the breath of life amid long, drawn-out agony? I think he would have had many excuses for dying, even before mounting the cross. Deny now, if you can, that nature is very generous in making death inevitable. Many men have been prepared to enter upon still more shameful bargains, to betray friends in order to live longer themselves, or voluntarily to debase their children and so enjoy the light of day, which is witness of all their sins. We must get rid of this craving for life, and learn that it makes no difference when your suffering comes, because at some time you are bound to suffer. The point is not how long you live, but how nobly you live. And often this living nobly means that you cannot live long. Farewell. Letter 102. On the Intimations of Our Immortality. Just as a man is annoying when he rouses a dreamer of pleasant dreams, for he is spoiling a pleasure which may be unreal, but nevertheless has the appearance of reality. Even so, your letter has done me an injury, for it brought me back abruptly, absorbed as I was, in agreeable meditation, and ready to proceed still further, if it had been permitted me. I was taking pleasure in investigating the immortality of souls, nay, in believing that doctrine, for I was lending a ready ear to the opinions of the great authors, who not only approve, but promise this most pleasing condition. I was giving myself over to such a noble hope, for I was already weary of myself, beginning already to despise the fragments of my shattered existence, and feeling that I was destined to pass over into that infinity of time and the heritage of eternity, when I was suddenly awakened by the receipt of your letter and lost my lovely dream. But if I can once dispose of you, I shall reseek and rescue it. There was a remark at the beginning of your letter that I had not explained the whole problem wherein I was endeavoring to prove one of the beliefs of our school, that the renown which falls to one's lot after death is a good, for I had not solved the problem with which we are usually confronted. No good can consist of things that are distinct and separate, yet renown